Good afternoon. Good evening.
Good afternoon.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. Thank you.
Has joined.
Good evening. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I think we're starting at verse 360. That's really a question. I'm looking it up now. No, it's 358. No, we've done 358.9. It's 360. L'shem Yehud Kud Shabarichu Ishkinte Bitkilu Urchimu Bitkilu Urchimu Leakda L'shem
has joined.
Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, La'asok Torah Mitzvah, Vayino Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kununei Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kununeihu. Pasuk 360. Do davar acher raglei hasidahu ishmor kada Abraham b'kud shabarichu hazel ayameya tadir b'kin dila yechlun l'nazrka le'yahur shayim b'hoshe Yadamu ilen inun Malkin dal halatal Ukud shabarichu Bahahu lelia Tirada batraihu. Another explanation of the verse, he guards the feet of his pious ones, is that Chassidav is written without the letter Yud, which implies one. That one was Abraham, who was always accompanied by the Holy One, be blessed be he, so that nobody could harm him. And the wicked shall be silent in darkness, refers to the kings whom the Holy One, blessed be he, had slain during that night that Abraham's pursued them. The pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. This is another perception of the code word chassidav. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Are the kings that were slain, were those the five kings that Abraham went after to save Lot at that?
That's correct.
Okay.
Nobody's asking what chassidav means.
Okay, I'll ask. what does Hasidav mean?
And I was waiting because I thought maybe it was mentioned before during that week that I wasn't able to participate. So I was looking back to see if I could see the word. So, okay.
Hasidav is being translated here as pious ones. It comes from the root of the Sephirah of Chesed.
So that's like Hasi Zadik? That's like a Zadik?
It's like a Tzadik. A pious one is a Tzadik, but he hasn't elevated to the level of being called righteous. He hasn't elevated to be been called a Tzadik. But a pious one, in popular parlance, is someone who is going out of his way to do additional mitzvot, or going out of his way to beautify the mitzvah that he does do.
The thing is, seeing the word, it has two yuds in it. So is it implying that a third yud is missing?
No. You're talking about in the verse itself, in the Zohar.
Yes.
No, there's only two yuds in it, but in the Torah.
Oh, okay.
When it says this verse, one of the yuds is missing, and the verse is explaining that missing yud connects to the idea of oneness, of unity. The letter yud can be a connection to Hashem directly, or to unity, which is a process to reach, to be connected to Hashem.
So if it's missing a yud, now tell me again, if it's missing a yud, then it's connecting to unity and to Hashem. That's what that yud means.
It's saying it's not connecting to the unity of Hashem. It's connecting to a lower level than that.
Okay, so that has two yuds to it. So it's missing one without unity to Hashem. So if it has another yud, if it had two yuds with it, a yud with a yud, then it means that it's connecting to Hashem in some way.
That's correct.
There's the yud of the yud. That's interesting.
Go ahead, Hannah.
I was thinking maybe it's missing because it reminds me of when the word shalom is with the vav is broken, that someone had to die in order for peace. You know, so it wasn't a complete peace when Pinchas had to kill Cosby and I've forgotten the other one's name. But so here, if Abraham, you know, had killed the five kings, well, here again, someone else had to die. So it wasn't Hashem's perfect act, I guess you could say, because someone or some bodies, more than one, had to die.
And then if the five kings died, does that connect to the five worlds then? Something was corrected within the five worlds?
Yes, something was connected within the five worlds, but no, the kings did not die.
Oh.
Abraham took 318 men, what's what the Torah says. But that, the Midrash says that 318 men was only Eliezer, whose gematria is 318. So did people have to die? It was a war. People die in a war. The five kings represented negativity. That's why they kidnapped Lot, thinking he was Abraham. Abraham runs after him to rescue Lot, And yet he refuses to accept any booty and any of the material wealth that comes from the king of Sodom. And Lot goes back and lives in Sodom. After that, and Abraham goes back to his farming and grazing his animals and being kind to people, doing chesed.
Well, it says, refers to the kings whom the Holy One, blessed be He, had slain during that night that Abraham pursued them. So they didn't die?
Well, no. It says, it's referring to a midrash, because I don't remember reading in the Torah that they died.
Okay.
It says that he went after them with 318 men, and he rescued Lot. I don't remember it says that he died, and I don't remember that it said that Hashem killed them during the night. The Midrash says that.
Okay, well, I thought there was a different story. I thought that he met Shem in one of the Midrashes, I guess it was, that I read, was that it was sort of a cold meeting, because Shem was a little bit embarrassed because Abraham had killed his descendants in this particular battle. So I wasn't thinking that these were the five kings, because of how it said each, you know, how the last one had a wife, and that one they don't mention, I think, his death, but all the others, they tell about him.
Kind of, but you're mixing them up, because those...
Well, that's what I'm asking you. Is that two different...
It's two different stories. The kings represent the Sephiroth in the world of Tohu. That's what you're referring to, the kings that die, and the last one's his wife. He didn't die, and his wife didn't die.
Right.
Shem is a child of Noah. And he becomes, because he's the firstborn of Noah, he becomes the high priest of the world.
Right. Okay.
When he meets Abraham, that high priesthood is transferred to him. And that has nothing to do with him going after the five kings.
Okay. Well, that's what I needed to know, if it was two different stories, because...
Yes, it's two different stories.
Okay.
Now, this verse is following up of what we talked about last week from the 358-359. But it's essentially explaining why the word chassidah does not have a yud.
Well, I'm glad you pointed out that it was in the Torah, you know, verse, not the verse here in the Zohar.
Cornbread. Shall I go on?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. I made a mistake and left out the Aramaic, so give me a minute, I'll pull it up. verse 361 in Aramaic. Ahi diktiv v'hosha yedamu dalelya v'itkashar b'chashoka v'katalon v'avraham radif v'laelya v'atilon ahi diktiv v'yechalek Alechem Lailahu Viavadal Viakim Viacha Katlak Alechem Laila Daku Chabrihu Bifaleg Rachame Mindena Begin Lemevad Nukmin Avraham ugin kach ur sha'im v'choshech yedamu v'yekem v'yakum min ba'eleya elada kudsha barichu ki lo b'koach yad bar ish v'yihu v'eliyazer Aho bilcho daihu. I will be saying the English shortly. I have this temperamental computer. It's trying to get me upset.
That's okay. I don't have any Hebrew for 361.
Neither do I. That's why I read it from a different source.
Oh.
That's called mistake number one. Mistake number two is the computer was dropped the whole web page. So now, verse 361 in English. Therefore it is written, shall be silent in darkness, which means the night, namely the nukva. Abraham pursued the kings, and the night, as it became united with the darkness, slew the kings. Thus it is written, and he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night. Literally, at the night divided upon them, and smote them. And it's saying, this is Bereshit chapter 14, verse 15. But it doesn't say slew the king in that verse. It's saying that the night did something, divided upon them. Therefore, the phrase, and the night divided upon them, refers to the Holy One, blessed be he, who separated judgment from mercy in order to avenge Abraham. Thus it is written, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. And he smote them. It should have been written, and they smote them, in the plural, because Abraham and his servants smote them. But of course it was the Holy One, blessed be he, who really smote them. For by strength shall no man prevail. As he was alone there with Eliezer. The numerical value of Eliezer is 318, and Abraham had 318 servants, which are mentioned in the scriptures. My commentary. This pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. This pasuk is teaching an unusual form of logic. Rabbi Ashlag reminds us of the Midrash that helps us with our contemplation. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Okay, I have a question.
My question is, well, we don't know yet.
Okay, here goes. We have 316 commandments, positive and negative. So 318 is two more than 316. So then did Abraham use all of the commandments to actually slew the negativity since he's positive?
Brandy, you're mixing things.
Okay.
We can't mix things. It's very important that we keep things separated. That the right and the left remain separated. There are 365 negative mitzvot, not 316.
Okay.
There are 613 total mitzvot.
Okay, so I'm dyslexic.
Which many of us are. But what is the verse truly teaching us?
Nighttime fell and the negative system was present.
Nighttime is when the negative system is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's teaching us. And the wicked shall be silent in darkness. We have all kinds of recommendations not to go out at night alone, especially on Monday and Wednesday night.
On which nights?
Sunday night and Tuesday night, actually.
Okay. I thought it was any night. Okay.
No, it's especially those two nights. It's recommended not to go out alone any night. You are
right.
Correct. But especially those two nights, Sunday night and Tuesday night. We're almost out of time, so are there any further questions?
Well, is this the hint of the 318 that you're saying that the Midrash says it was just Eleazar, and because Eleazar has a gematria of 318, is that the hint that you were referring to in the previous verse that we discussed?
Okay. That is what I was referring to.
Okay.
There is a Midrash outside of the Zohar, but here it's being explained. Referenced in the Zohar by Rabbi Ashlag.
Yes, because it's all caps. I see that. But it says, which are mentioned in the scriptures. He was very thorough.
He tries to give you sources like everyone else. They give you sources.
Right. Let me ask you one more time about the Megillah reading.
Okay.
Are you going to have the reading on Friday morning?
I'm going to be present at a Megillah reading Friday morning, but I'm not doing it on the
conference call with us.
On the conference call.
Okay, so I went ahead and edited it that way. Okay, I wasn't sure if I misunderstood, so I got it in there. Okay.
You didn't. But I will be having a conference call at 10 a.m. or 9 a.m. in your time zone Friday morning for the reading not of the Megillah, but of the sixth Aliyah.
Okay, well then I'll need to go back and make a distinction there. I'll add that in there. So at 9, we'll have the regular. No. What did you tell me again? I'm sorry. It's not sleeping is getting to me.
You really don't need to have to change it because it's included in the email that went out Saturday afternoon.
Well, it was in the commentary that you read from the last two Sundays. That was my concern.
Yes, no, I understand what you're editing, but what you said is correct, that there will not be a reading of the Megillah Friday morning. There will be something Thursday night.
Okay.
You all have a good evening.
Okay, you too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Shalom. Thank you, Hanok.
Shalom.